My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am so excited because this is the Sunday I got to wear my Captain America shoes to church. Are you all excited? If you didn't know, I love Captain America. I love Captain America, and I finally get to use Captain America in a sermon. So buckle your seatbelts, because I'm excited. But last week we began this short, I keep it at 4 weeks, I call that short, sermon series based on superheroes. And last week we looked at the ultimate superhero in that of Jesus Christ, who came, and my definition of superheroes, if you weren't here last week, is those who have extraordinary gifts and powers that use them to save lives and to change the world. Well, Jesus did that as he walked on this earth and did miracles and healings, but then as he died upon the cross for us so that we would not have to be separated from God, but that we could have eternal life with God, that we could be forgiven for our sins. And I call this the superest of all superheroes. Well, this week I introduce you to a new superhero. And if you don't know him, I'm going to give you a ever so brief, I could spend an hour telling you about Captain America, but I'm working on keeping it brief. Brief history of who Captain America is, if you don't know of my favorite superhero. And so we begin with Steve Rogers. Here's a picture of Steve Rogers. Doesn't he look like a superhero? This is 90-pound Steve Rogers. And, you know, we talk about today being Patriots Day, September 11th, and for certain generations, September 11th will be the tragedy that marks their history. Some of our younger generations, that's the worst thing that they can think of that has happened to our country. But for certain generations in our church, the biggest tragedy, the one that marks them, is World War II. Right now, so many of the funerals that are being done are World War II veterans. I can't tell you how many funerals I've done at Riverside National Cemetery for our veterans that served in World War II. Well, Steve Rogers was coming to adulthood as World War II was striking. And Steve Rogers loved his country and so badly wanted to serve his country. And so he did everything he could, going down to the office to try to get recruited, to try to sign up. But when he would try to sign up, this is the medical record that they would look at. What do we see? We see asthma, scarlet fever, sinusitis, high blood pressure, palpitations, easily fatigability. I didn't even know that was a word. Nervous trouble of every sort. I mean, here is a list of every reason he should not serve in the military. And so over and over again, his file was stamped rejected. So he would go to another city and he'd stand in line again, and again and again he was laughed at for wanting to serve. You can't serve. You're too sick. You're too weak. You're just not able. Well, he never gave up because the passion was in his heart to be out there and to serve his country. Well, finally, Steve Rogers gets the opportunity. Finally, they decide to give him a chance. And he is spotted with that passion that he has for a special project. They've been looking at bigger and stronger men, but the man in front of, in charge of the project chose him despite what everybody said. And so Steve Rogers was put into this machine, okay? Here he is getting ready to be pumped full of chemicals and radiation. So he goes into this, and everybody's looking, and he's screaming at the pain that's happening, and they want to shut it down. They want to stop it, but here out of this machine screams this passion, no, don't stop. I can take it. And what happens when he comes out of that machine, he is no longer 90-pound Steve Rogers, but here's the transformation that he's gone through from the first one to the second one. Here he comes out with extraordinary muscles. Here right away, he shows that he has speed greater than anybody else, that he has the ability to fight like none other. And so he becomes Captain America. And as we go through the comic books or you go through the movies, you're able to see what he's able to do to save lives and to change the world because of the transformation that he went through. This morning, I would like to talk about how we are like Captain America, okay? I get my shoes because we are just like him. Okay. But to begin this journey of ours, we start in the book of Ephesians, okay? And Paul is a great place to start because Paul went through one of the greatest transformations that we see, and his witness is incredible. But what does Paul tell us in Ephesians? The second chapter, the first verse, he tells us we were once dead in our transgressions. Transgressions being our sins. He's looking at us pre-Jesus, and he's saying, you were dead to rights. You were dead because you were caught in this sin, and it left you powerless. Well, I'd been trying to think of the times that I'd been feeling weak and powerless. And I thought about times I'd been in the hospital. I thought about when I'd been in a really bad car accident with the kids. I thought about all of these times. But the time that really struck me, and I know I've talked about my marathon before, but I think God made me run it so I'd have sermon illustrations. I was thinking about the longest training run that we would do. It was 20 miles. The longest training run we were going to do was 20 miles, and then magically we were going to run 26 somehow. But we were running 20 miles, and it happened to be an extremely hot day in Temecula. It was scheduled to be like 115 degrees that day, and we knew it was going to get above 90 while we were still running, even though we started at 4:30 in the morning when it was still dark out. Well, we got to mile 19. I was running by myself. I'd lost my group. They had fallen behind, or I'd fallen behind them. I was all by myself, and the last water stop that we had of the day, because we had water stops set up for us, I failed to fill up my water bottles on my belt. I don't know why. I must have thought I was close enough to the finish. I would have enough, but I didn't refill them at the stop. And coming into mile 19, I was empty, I was depleted, and I was dying. Well, I get to this turn, and here's a park, and sitting under the shade tree is the manager of our team. And I just thought, salvation is right there. There's water, there's hope, I can make this last mile. And I get there, and guess what? She doesn't have water. So I'm not a water stop. I wasn't planning on being here. I just thought, since it's so hot, I'd sit here and cheer people on to the last mile. Well, I had nothing left in the tank. I literally had nothing to do that last mile of 20 miles. And I sat down next to her in the shade, and I had no idea how I was going to get up. My legs were like jello. I was exhausted. I was dehydrated. I just couldn't move. And this is what Paul's talking about. That place that we've put ourselves in. It's what we've done. It's the decisions we've made. It's the mistakes we've done that can leave us kind of dead in our tracks, feeling weak and powerless, like we just can't go on, thirsty for something to rescue us and lift us up out of our situation. That was the people Paul was talking about. And that is us at one point in our lives, when we're just sitting, feeling like we just can't do it. But then Paul gives us the hope. Paul gives us the hope as I go to his book, to the Romans, written from prison. Written from prison, looking at death in the eye, knowing it's his fate. And what does Paul write to us to encourage us? But in Romans 5:6, Paul writes, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. He reminds us, Jesus didn't die when we were perfect. Jesus didn't die for us when we were doing everything right. Jesus didn't die for us when everything was falling into place and we were just feeling our best. Paul says, Jesus died for you when you were at your very worst, your very lowest, the weakest point in your life. When we were 90-pound, scrawny little Steve Rogers that the world was laughing at and saying, you don't have what it takes. Paul says that's when Jesus died for us. When we were lost in our sin, he picked us up out of it and he put us in a righteous place. So here we are sitting there. There were the disciples sitting there. They're sitting there at the beginning of the book of Acts as Luke retells the story. Jesus has died and Jesus is risen, and they're getting 40 extra days with him. And in those 40 extra days, Jesus is showing once again who he is. Once again, he's healing and performing miracles and telling the story over and over again. But he's also preparing those disciples, telling them, I'm going to be leaving. I'm only here for a short time, but he says, I'm going to take care of you, right? He says, I promise you the Holy Spirit. He's talked about it before. He said, I'm going to give you a counselor. I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm going to give you a guide. And now he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And bam, right here in chapter 2, what do we get? But we get Pentecost, right? And what happens at Pentecost? But the story of Pentecost is the church's story of transformation through the Holy Spirit. What Steve Rogers did in that machine, getting pumped full of those chemicals and that radiation that transformed him into Captain America, that is the symbol of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came in with thunder, raining down like fire. The Holy Spirit was pumped into the blood system of the disciples and empowered them because they were weak before that moment. They were ordinary, regular guys. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. These were ordinary men that nobody saw extraordinary capabilities in. But then Pentecost comes. The power of the Holy Spirit fills them. And what happens from this point is we see the power of the church through them. We see Peter. Peter was weak when he was with Jesus. Peter was the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Peter was the one that said stupid things to Jesus. Peter was not the brightest. And then here after Pentecost, what do we have? But we have Peter stepping up as a powerful witness, and thousands of people at a time came to Christ because of his witness and the power of the Holy Spirit through him. The power of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and created superheroes in each one of those apostles. They had the extraordinary power of God inside of them, and day by day, they were saving lives and changing the world. Well, we each get the Holy Spirit, don't we? I mean, that is the one thing that separates me from you. Did you know that? The one thing that separates me as an ordained pastor, I said it with the kids, is the ability to invoke the Holy Spirit. In baptism, when I pray over the water and I ask it to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that requires ordination that gives us the power through the bishop's blessing to do that. Each month in communion, when I ask God to fill the elements with the Holy Spirit, that is my pastoral privilege, and that is the greatest blessing I have as a pastor, to see the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to invoke it, but then even more so, to take that Holy Spirit and give it to each one of you, to give that Holy Spirit to every person that's baptized, to offer that Holy Spirit and the grace that comes with it to each person who receives communion. Now, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we might not be like Steve Rogers and get gigantic muscles and the ability to run fast, okay? Maybe I would have won the marathon if the Holy Spirit did that. It's not giving us the physical transformation, but the spiritual change can affect our ability to be strong and courageous. That starts out in Joshua 1:9. Joshua, who's called to lead his people back home to defeat the city of Jericho, and 7 times over, God has to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. And these are the kinds of words he gives over and over again to his people. Be strong and courageous. Because his followers face tough circumstances. They face challenges. They face pains and disappointments of all kinds. But God says, here's your Holy Spirit. Here is my presence with you, and it will give you the strength and the courage you need to face all that comes your way. And then God, as we look in the Psalms, and we look in Ephesians, God says, and I will be your strength and shield when you feel weak or powerless. It made me think about when I got to go to Costa Rica on a mission trip. Oh, a blessing to be able to go down and serve in the rainforest and the jungle of Costa Rica. But the week before we were scheduled to leave on this trip, it was mostly adults on this trip from the church. And just a week before, one of the women on the church who was so excited to be going got sick. And the doctor gave her permission to go, but he said, you get to go, but you can't do any work. You can't do anything strenuous. You can't do any labor. You can't swing a hammer. You can't lift anything. And she was so disappointed. But she said, I'm going to go anyways, and I'm going to figure out what it is I could do. And she was probably the most valuable person on that trip. Number one, down in Costa Rica, she spoke Spanish, so she translated for us. But number two, I told you my weakest moment was when I was feeling dehydrated training. Down in Costa Rica, 95 degrees, 95% humidity, and we were working all day long. We were sweating everything out of us. And Linda, do you know what she found that she could be? She could be our hydration expert. She spent all day while we were working, walking up to us. Stacy, would you like water or Gatorade? Oh, I'd love Gatorade, Linda. All right, I'll go get you Gatorade. She'd come back and she'd watch you. All right, you got to drink the whole glass and take your break. I drink my glass onto the next person. All right, water or Gatorade? That's how she spent her day, making sure we were hydrated so we could do the work that we had before us, visiting with the people that came by the church that we had there. You see, God saw the weakness, and God lifted her up and strengthened her and gave her the power to be one of the most influential people on that trip. The Holy Spirit was absolutely inside of her. Sometimes it's not how we see it that we want it to be, but it's how God has it designed for what God needs us to be. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is the bottom line here? The bottom line is that we are superheroes. We are superheroes through Christ in us because we can use the Holy Spirit to save lives and to change the world. This is a message that I've loved telling, so really be surprised. It took me over 2 years to get here. I remember the very first week I was appointed to this church. The very first week, you might remember, I wasn't here at this church because I was on a mission trip. I kind of like mission trips, if you haven't figured that out. I was on a mission trip with a group of youth. And we had decided that week that we were going to use superheroes as the theme. And so as we did our program while we were camping before the trip, we talked to the youth about being superheroes, and they laughed at us. And we gave our definition of superheroes saving lives and changing the world and told them, when you go there and you build wheelchair ramps, when you repair fences, when you fix bathroom floors, you are changing lives through the work that you're doing. And you're using the extraordinary gifts that God gives you to do just that. And we gave them each a shirt. We gave them each a shirt, and on the front it had the Superman symbol, but it was their first initial. And then it had a red cape on it. At the bottom, it said Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so here on our travel day, we all wore our superhero shirts with capes, and we walked into McDonald's, and people kind of laughed at us. Okay? We were wearing capes. And I overheard a conversation of one gentleman asking one of the youth, why are you all wearing capes? And that youth said, because we're superheroes. God's given us gifts, and we're going out onto a Native American reservation, and we're going to change lives with a hammer and a bunch of nails. And I was so impressed by that kid in that moment. My friends, I tell you, God's Holy Spirit is in each one of you. That is Christ's presence. That is God's power that is in you. He has given you a set of gifts that he has designed just for you. And he has said, I need you to use that power. I need you to use it so that the world can see me through you, so that lives can be changed and the world can be a better place because you are in it. What does it take from us? It takes us having faith in God that he is going to be the one to work through us. But it also takes us having strength and courage to be who God has called us to be. I have no doubt in the ability of each one of you. I have no doubt in the superpower that resides in this congregation, and that there's a world out there waiting for us to storm our way into it. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we know who Christ is. We know what Christ has done on that cross, and we humbly bow before him as our Savior. But we also bow down to one another to respect and love one another, seeing that you are in each person sitting around us. We pray that you will help us to see your Holy Spirit in us, to be able to look in the mirror and to be able to see the unique gifts that you have given each one of us. But then I pray that you will help us to see how those gifts can be used in the world so that the lives around us can be changed, even just by a simple smile or a kind word or gesture. That the world can be changed one life at a time because of who we are and how we allow you to work through us. For all of this, Lord, we pray in humble and with thankful hearts. Amen.